Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio.
Who cares when? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio. On the bright side.
Good afternoon. I trust you are on the bright side of the road because it is Who Cares Wins, your health and well-being show here on channelradio.co.uk on this fine Monday afternoon. It is me, Angela Breyer Stevenson. And of course, in the more formal and keeping it in check corner is the wonderful Jan Mulligan.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hi, Jan. Jan, I cannot look at you because these two pairs of glasses just sends me into to a strange...
Ergonomics. You start off by spending no money. And this is my bifocal cheapie.
Okay, yeah.
Short distance, long distance.
I hope you
combined.
Don't suggest your clients do that, Jan.
Depends on the situation. As long as health and safety is adhered to at all times.
Of course. Well, we, of course, are sponsored by the wonderful Kent Connections magazine. So don't forget, if you want to have a look, or even perhaps you are a practitioner of some form of therapy or movement, as we're going to be talking about movement and posture today with our wonderful guest. But obviously, have a look at their website, which is kentconnections.co.uk. And that's Kent Connections. The Connections is spelt with an X.
X for extra fact.
Extra for extra wonderful. But yes, a great sponsor. Thank you so much for Kent Connections. Without their help and support. And of course, we do feature in their magazine on the inside page. So fantastic to them. Thank you so much. Of course, without further ado, we need to look at how you can contact us. Because as always, we have a multitude of screens in here. I feel a bit like Reuters sometimes. You know, the Reuters.
Yes, Twitter,
the screens,
Facebook, email.
It's just good that when the screen doesn't go all red, that's not a good thing, is it?
No,
but yes, we have the wonderful telephone. So if you want to talk to us this afternoon between now and 1 o'clock on anything to do with health and well-being, or in particular questions for our guest, when we're going to be talking to her in a moment, the wonderful Sabine Blackaby on the Feldenkrais method, then you can contact us. First of all, telephone is 01303 874 998, or on Twitter. We have the Twitter feed here. We've got the screens. We can see what you're saying about us, if you tag us, of course. On @CaresWins is the Twitter handle. And of course, on Facebook, we have a Facebook page. Please post your comments or questions on there, which is Who Cares Wins Radio Show. And of course, the good old email. So if you want to email us, use studio@whocareswinsradio.co.uk.
Smoke signals?
We could try them.
We could.
There's a few going on outside, actually, Jan, when we came in. Yes. So I don't know. I might have to look on a particular search engine to see what the smoke signals mean. But yeah, you can try them if you wish, listener. So welcome to this afternoon's show, which is all about a very interesting subject, very dear to my heart and also Jan's, because we're talking about our bodies and our movement and posture. So without further ado, let's get cracking and talk to our marvellous guest who has come all the way from sunny Brighton. So yep. Welcome. Good afternoon, Sabine.
Good afternoon.
And she's sitting very upright, listener. She's making me sit upright. I'm looking at my posture already and thinking about it.
It's more about sitting comfortably rather than upright.
Oh, good. Well, I am comfortable, so that's a good thing. I'm ticking the boxes then, Sabine. Good. She won't be telling me off, listener. So Sabine Blackaby, you are joining us. Thank you so much, because we have had you on the radio on previous shows sometime last year, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
I think it was probably this time last year when we talked about your workshop that you were running with the wonderful Julie Raitt, who is a yoga teacher up in the Medway Towns area.
Right.
And of course, now we have the delight of having you here in the studio to really quiz you now. So you've got 45 minutes or so of Jan and I asking absolutely everything we want to know about the Feldenkrais method.
No
poor
pressure,
lady.
Sabine. Not at all.
Now, first of all, Sabine, for our listeners' perspective, perhaps just an introduction, how you got involved in this work, because I know that you are married to a wonderful man who some of the yogis out there may know, Peter Blackaby.
That's right.
But of course, I'm sure that your passion and your interest in all of this has stemmed from perhaps a previous background, or maybe not
it
at
has,
all.
Yes.
So if we could enlighten our listeners a bit.
Yes.
Take it away, Sabine.
I will. Yes, I'm originally Swiss, and I was working as a kindergarten teacher in Switzerland for many years, which is part of the school system there, a bit like reception over here.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed when children had difficulties with learning, mm-hmm. it really helped when we did movement lessons with them.
Yeah.
So movement really underpins all our cognitive abilities, cognitive learning. And I was also personally very interested in psychology and in movement. And I looked into many different movement systems like euthanasia, midarrhythmic, yoga. And one Saturday morning, I went shopping in Switzerland and went to a cheese shop and picked up a leaflet with Feldenkrais on it. And I've never heard of this approach before.
Yes,
and
so
I thought, I'll go and try. And I did one lesson and was really hooked. I really loved the approach.
Yeah.
And it's where I felt very much at home straight away because that combination of movement, learning and psychology really merges in the Feldenkrais method.
Wow. So you're obviously involved now in teaching it, but also you've gone that further step of you also now train up other teachers. Is that right?
Not quite. I'm assisting in a training in Amsterdam, which is the child space training. I'm assisting there.
Yes.
But I'm teaching, you know, students, yoga teachers, people from the public. And I do mentoring sessions for newly qualified Feldenkrais practitioners.
Okay, right. So you are based in Brighton.
I am.
But of course, you're here today in the wonderful sunny studio in Hythe in Kent. And of course, you will be later on Saturday, isn't it? This coming Saturday. We're going to talk about it a little later in the show. You're actually doing a particular workshop for... In fact, anybody that's of interest for the Feldenkrais method. So if you are in Kent, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. We'll give you all the details about how to book, how to get on, where it is, et cetera, et cetera. But, and also just in case people are thinking, well, I don't live in Kent. I'm further afield. Don't panic. There are other workshops that Sabine does. So fear not. But let's go into a bit more depth, first of all, about the sort of, how it sort of really came about, this whole history of Feldenkrais. And obviously my passion, I know Jan being an ergonomist with the whole how we sit, how we sleep, how we stand, how we walk, how we breathe. My passion in yoga, in our how we actually move and how we are literally linking with our bodies. Obviously, this is really fascinating to me, and I just wish I could come to your workshop. So hopefully another one, please. So, yes, I'm very intrigued about it. I suppose for me, the first question is it similar to things I know of, like the Alexander technique, like yoga, for example, or is it completely the other spectrum?
There are definitely some similarities. So where the Alexander technique, as I understand it, is concerned with posture and how you move from one situation to another, and also our response to gravity and how we find length in the body, we find this in the Feldenkrais method as well.
Right.
But we teach movement sequences. So we teach groups as well, where that's not so much done in the Alexander technique, and it goes more into all kind of movements that are developmental, so movements that we learn as babies, but also that still underpins our human movement potential. So anything like reaching or bending down to put the washing in the washing machine, or turning, sitting and standing and walking. So all the movements that we need to do well in order to go about our daily lives, and that will also really inform the quality of our lives. So as human beings, we can't avoid to move. So I think the better we move, the better the quality of our lives is.
So it is very much more about how our daily, sort of almost thinking about our daily activities.
Very much so.
So how we are bending to pick up the shopping off from the car boot or lifting it out, or how we are sitting at the dining table when we're eating dinner. Yes, folks, we encourage you to sit at your dining table rather than have a tray on your settee. But that's another show, isn't it, Jan?
Don't get us started.
I know, soapbox. So, much more about this movement. But Jan, how does that, interestingly, because when we talk about ergonomics, that there's also an element in there, is there not, about how we go about these lifting, bending?
The key thing with ergonomics is everybody assumes ergonomics is posture and seating. But actually, it's everything you do. And it's, as Sabine mentioned earlier, it's not about sitting ramrod straight or walking ramrod straight. It's about using your body the way it's supposed to be used and listening to it and adapting to any difficulties you may have, but preventing difficulties from occurring. And if you can use your body correctly, then you'll be healthier and happier and your well-being will be improved for longer. But some of us need help with that. And that's where techniques such as Feldenkrais, such as Alexander, such as yoga, can help remind us how we were as a toddler. And I know Sabine works with babies and toddlers as well.
Yes.
But perfect posture normally stops around in the UK 4 or 5 when you get sent to school and sat behind a desk. Until that stage, we're pretty much okay, aren't we?
Sabine's nodding away there.
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Oh, good, good.
I think one of the reasons why, you know, we still discover what movement actually is and how we learn to move as babies is because we just assume babies learn to move well. But that's not necessarily the case.
Ah.
It very much depends on their environment, mm-hmm. the chances that they have to move well, what they can find, what they might not find. So I would say even healthy children, it's very important for them that their carers, their parents have some ideas of movement and can facilitate the process. And often it's just seeing what the baby is doing and witnessing the process, really.
Mm.
And may I say something too about moving well and correctly?
Yeah.
So the Feldenkrais method isn't really so much about a system of correction. It's much more helping people to find what works for them.
Great.
So when someone comes into my practice, for example, I assume that they're doing the best of their abilities at the given time.
Yeah.
But maybe they haven't looked into or forgotten some options. And it's a bit like cooking, you know, you don't want to eat pasta all the time. So you can say there is rice as well, there is potatoes. So you open up options for the person where they can then choose from.
Right, right. So naturally, I'm assuming, Sabine, that people like yoga teachers, the Pilates teachers, people that are involved in teaching forms of movement and posture and alignment, etc., perhaps even physios, chiropractors, are they drawn to this technique to add to their toolkit? Or is this a, oh, no, can't go there?
I encounter both.
Ah.
So it depends a little bit on how open-minded they are.
Sure.
And can deviate slightly from their field of expertise.
Sure.
But in a way, you know, everybody could benefit from looking at these specific movements and finding ways that suits them to the best of their abilities.
Mm.
So I often work with yoga teachers who find maybe the postures are quite similar to a movement I teach, but I come at it from a different angle.
Great.
Yes, and then they can incorporate it into their own teaching.
Maybe we'll have a music break while I quiz you in a bit more depth about yoga and perhaps some examples of a posture in yoga and how yours is different.
Yes.
That might be interesting. So, but first of all, let's have a bit of a music break and allow that for our listeners just to digest all of that. We will test you at the end of this show to see if you've remembered everything, listener. I'm joking. So, but you have chosen our songs this afternoon, Sabine. And the first one we have up is It's Wonderful by Diana Krall. Now, all of the tracks actually you've chosen for a reason. You were saying to me that you wanted to choose something that was uplifting.
Yes. And also I like jazz.
Uh-huh.
And I like voices. And I think Diana Krall has a wonderful voice.
A wonderful voice. Well, let's sit back and enjoy that. And we will talk to you in a moment, listener. Don't go too far.
It's wonderful, it's marvelous, you should care for me, it's awfully nice, it's paradise, it's what I love to see. You made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling amorous. Oh, it's wonderful, marvelous that you should care for me. Wonderful, marvelous that you should care for me. It's awful nice, it's paradise, it's what I love to see. My fully closed. should care for me.
Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio. Who cares wins? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio. On the bright side of the
world. And welcome back. It is me, Angela Breyer-Stevenson, with you in the studio here at channelradio.co.uk with Jan Mulligan with her 15 pairs of glasses. And more importantly, we have a wonderful guest. We've been chatting with Sabine Blackaby all about, a little bit about at least, the Feldenkrais method. And I am pronouncing that correctly, Sabine?
Almost.
Always? Yes. Good. Almost.
It's not easy to pronounce. It's a German word.
Aha.
Feldenkrais.
Feldenkrais.
That's
must good. Remember my German teaching, Feldenkrais. Jawohl. Okay. So, Sabine, we were talking earlier before the music break about the method, and you were saying about the similarities sometimes between, say, yoga, for example. But if I can just hold that for a moment, yes. Because I will come back, and I think we could talk about forward bending, for example, as a sort of people know whether they do forward bends in yoga or forward bends at home picking something up off the carpet. First of all, though, Feldenkrais, you say it's a German name. Is it a German person's name? And then is that the person who invented it?
Well, Moshe Feldenkrais, that's the name of the method as well. So it is his surname, or was his surname. He was actually Russian. He was born in what's now the Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
And he was an engineer and also worked as a physicist.
Ah.
And he had a very colorful life. And part of that meant that he emigrated to Palestine, which was then under the English,
Empire.
Not really.
But not empire. Rule?
No, it's not.
What's the word?
Mandate.
There we go.
See, we get there eventually, between three brains.
And then he went to Paris. He went to France to study engineering. And he there also became the first European black belt judo master.
Ah.
So he had that interest in how things work.
Yeah.
But also the background in martial arts. And putting these two together with also having really uncomfortable knees and trying to find a way out of that situation, he developed his method by really, at the time, if he would have gone for a knee operation, there was only about half a chance of full recovery. So he looked into many different movement disciplines and also found out that some days his knees were more painful than the other times.
Yeah.
And he thought, well, it must have something to do with how I'm using my knees in daily life. And so lots of little experiments led him to unpainful knees in the end, and also found is the basic of the Feldenkrais method.
Right.
So then friends started to ask him, can you do something for my shoulder or for my back?
And as became, friends do, yes.
Yes, or family.
Yes.
And as he became busier, he then looked for a way how he can teach the method to a larger group, a larger audience, and then created these movement sequences that we can teach in groups and workshops.
Right. So let's take it then to real basics. Let's say I rock up or perhaps ring you up, Sabine, and say, I've heard about this on Who Cares Wins. I've heard about the Feldenkrais method in my wonderful German accent there. So I need to book with you. What sort of process do you go through with me as a potential client? And is it one-on-one? Is it group? How does that happen?
Yes, there are two possibilities. So there are the groups where the way I teach or a Feldenkrais teacher teaches is through there are verbal instructions. So we don't show the movement so that you're really learning from your own exploration and experience. A lot of the classes are done lying on the floor in different positions.
Mm-hmm.
And we consider movements that you learned as a baby, but that you need now as an adult as well.
Right.
And the hands-on approach is much more tailored to an individual's wishes or needs.
Mm. So if they came perhaps with an ailment, a problem.
Exactly. Yes. A lot of people come because they have a place in the body that feels uncomfortable and want some help with that.
Right.
And together with the person, I will look at how are they moving that maybe contributes to the discomfort, and can we find alternative ways
right
to make it more comfortable. Mm. I sometimes give people movements that they can do at home.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, so there are these two aspects.
Right.
The theory behind is the same. It's just a slightly different approach.
Right. Presumably one-on-one is going to be more intense, more, and as you say, more tailored to me and my problem, if you want to put that
That's
in inverted
right.
commas.
Yes.
Yes, Jan, I've got lots of them. But it is also perhaps the group scenario that perhaps I have had a one-to-one but then want to come to a group class.
Yes, some people mix the two.
Yeah.
Maybe come to see me first individually and then come to a class that maybe see me occasionally individually. Mm. So that's very possible as well. And in a class, as you say, it's more general. So we cover general movement themes, and each week is different.
Oh, okay.
So there's something about we repeat certain steps in the lesson, but also we want to keep ourselves alert and really look into different movement themes.
Okay.
And sometimes I look around in the group and think, okay, people could really benefit from more movement in the shoulder girdle area, or there are people saying something about their backs or their hips. So I can also bring lessons that are more specific to an individual group.
Is there in terms of the group sessions, is it every week and you pick and choose when you go, or is it you come for 6 weeks at a time?
Yes, that differs a little bit from teacher to teacher. I don't like to do drop-in classes because I'd like to know my students.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And sometimes I teach a class that I will then take over into the next class. So usually I have either it's monthly courses, or it's 6 weeks blocks.
Okay. And if I, let me just go back to, you were saying about whether it's the drop-in or, but you don't tend to do the drop-in class. But you also said there that sometimes you will look around at the class and you think, yes, if they're commenting about backs, so you might put something in relation to that. But are you also watching them, and could you, I'm just now worried, Jan, that she's looking at me, and are you able to sort of detect?
Very much. She's deconstructed you already. Most have been made.
I need to be put down. I know, Sabine. Yeah. Talk to me later. But yeah, is there an element you can see things?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So one of the reasons why I need to know the lesson very well in my own system is so I can watch my students.
Mm.
But it's a very non-judgmental watching.
Oh, good.
So I'm just looking around, what's working. Do I need to phrase something differently so people can hear me? Do I need to repeat something so people can pick it up? And only very occasionally I will go over and ask permission to show.
Yes, perhaps just to move the shoulder slightly to the left or right if they're not quite as they need to be.
Yeah, it's more if I see that people might hurt themselves if they carry on.
Yeah.
But otherwise I will try find ways of saying it verbally so that I disturb the process, the learning process, as little as possible. Mm-hmm. So that people can really get into their own exploration and learn from their experiences.
And how long would a class be?
A class is usually about an hour.
About an hour.
Yeah.
Any particular clothing people should be wearing?
Wear comfortable clothing that they can move in.
Mm.
But there is no description otherwise. So.
And there's a misnomer that people often think, oh, I can't go to yoga classes because I'm not very flexible, which almost is like, well, actually, that's why perhaps you need to consider yoga or some other. Is there, a myth that people think, oh, I can't go to this class because I can't bend my knees or yes. I can't get down onto the floor, for example?
I think the only contraindication would be if someone is in serious pain. Mm. So if you have had an accident, for example, and you're still in acute pain, then I would like to have a conversation first.
Sure.
And maybe see you individually first before you would come to a class. But other than that, it's really beneficial for anyone who's interested in learning to move more comfortably and more efficiently.
And on that note, about their disability, how far it's debilitating their movement, for example, if it's acute pain, or if they've had an accident, for example, and now paralysed, are they still able to almost utilise this part? If, let's say, they're paralysed from the waist down.
Yes.
So it's again on a, but you would probably have, as you said there, have a conversation with them first.
Yes.
And maybe do a one-to-one.
That's right, yes. So it's very beneficial also when people have disturbances like a stroke, for example, or suffer from MS, where their way of functioning and moving has been disturbed.
Yeah.
Yes, anyone who feels tension or has reoccurring problems like RSI or also chronic fatigue, where they want to work more on their energy levels. But and sometimes people are interested because they're coming from more from the performance arts, so musicians who have to repeat their movements over and over again.
Yeah.
And together we can maybe find the way how we can make this more comfortable. Or people who are involved in athletics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very wide-ranging.
It's interesting how, I don't know whether you had heard of this method, Jan, before sort of maybe last year when I picked up some brochures, didn't I? Funny enough, at Mind Body Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then we had Julie contact us about your workshop. Had you come across it before, Jan, though?
I hadn't, no. No, so my background to is the Alexander technique.
Popularized.
I hadn't come across
What's the word I want?
Popular.
Popular. It doesn't seem to be. Is that because it's still fairly young, Sabine?
Both, actually. It's much more popular on the continent. So
right.
It's very widespread in Germany and in Switzerland, and there are pockets in Italy as well.
Ah.
And interestingly, the Alexander technique isn't so widely known in these countries. So I think it depends also where Moshe Feldenkrais worked a lot.
Sure.
And a lot of physios train in the Feldenkrais method in Australia as well.
Australia?
Yes. I think that's where I come across it, because I've got some friends
down under.
And they mentioned it to me, along with the Bowen technique.
And that's the other one.
That's the other one that's similar to the Alexander technique. But you mentioned they're working with musicians and with athletes. And obviously, that's their field of earning. Do you get approached by workplaces, by companies, employers?
Not so much. I mainly work with individuals.
Right.
Mm. Although the individuals may well come, I suppose, from they are working, 9 to 5,
I mean,
perhaps.
Not that I would rule it out. Mm-hmm. It's just not in my experience.
Right. Open to offers?
I was going to say, is that something maybe in the future?
I would definitely consider it. Okay. Yes. It depends a little bit on the workplace, etc., how much space. And yes, I would definitely consider it.
On that note, Sabine, how much space would you need? Is it a boardroom and get rid of the table and chairs? Is that enough? Carpet, no carpet?
Yes.
Yoga mats, no yoga mats?
Carpet is definitely good. Floor space is good. But we could also do lessons in sitting.
Ah.
That would be definitely possible as well.
Right. Okay.
So if you're doing a one-to-one, would the client come to you? Would you go to the client?
If the client can come to me, I prefer that because I have all my props and my table there and everything.
Right.
But I do home visits at the moment. I'm working with someone who had a stroke. And it's just too difficult for him to come to my clinic. So then I would go home.
Of course, you're Brighton-based. So we are looking at south of England, southeast-ish. Brighton. And you obviously have come across to Kent, the wonderful Kent. We will let her back, Brighton, we promise. So yes, there is a sort of workshops, and that's your group offerings as well.
That's
but one on one, I'm assuming that, yeah, face to face, it's going to be in that little area there. Is it something you can do via Skype? You can talk somebody through it, or is it better to be a, you know, as you say, I need to see you doing it and be able to potentially come and assist if need be?
Yes, I don't know. I think it would maybe work if there are really no practitioners in the area.
Mm.
But personally, I think you really, people benefit from coming to a group. Also hearing the experience that other people had with the same lesson.
Of course.
Because many times I teach the same lesson, people get up and they have very different experiences of that particular lesson.
Right.
Which has to do with their organization. So even though we all walk in the same way, for example.
Oh, I don't know about me, Jan.
Actually, what I meant, we all walk as human beings.
We do.
But we walk in very individual ways.
We do indeed. We do indeed.
When people say, oh, they mean everybody apart from Angela.
Apart from Angela. Oh, okay. Right. Time for some music, I think. We have another wonderful tune that Sabine has chosen. And it's, in fact, would you like to introduce it? Because your accent is just much more marvellous than mine. So we have Dos Gardenias.
Dos Gardenias.
Dos, say it again for me, Sabine.
Dos Gardenias.
Oh, sorry, listener, I'm off now. And the Buena Vista Social Club. So enjoy. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. I might just start dancing, Sabine, around the studio.
Dos gardenias para ti, con ella quiero decir, te quiero. Te adoro, mi vida. Ponle toda tu atención, que serán tu corazón y el mío. Dos gardenias para ti, que tendrán todo el calor de un beso, de esos besos que te di y que jamás te encontrarán en el calor de otro querer. A tu lado vivirán y se hablarán como cuando estás conmigo, y hasta creerán que se dirá te quiero. Pero si un atardecer las gardenias de mi amor se mueren, es porque han adivinado que tu amor me ha traicionado, porque existe otro querer. A tu lado vivirán y se hablarán solo cuando estás conmigo, y hasta creerán que me dirán te quiero. Pero si un atardecer las gardenias de mi amor se es porque han adivinado que tu amor me ha traicionado, porque existe otro querer. Es porque han adivinado que tu amor me ha traicionado, porque existe otro querer.
Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio.
Who Cares Wins? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio.
On the bright side of the world.
Yes, you are listening to Who Cares Wins. It's me, Angela Breyer-Stevenson, here in the studio with the wonderful Jan Mulligan.
Very chilled.
You're very chilled, aren't you there,
beautiful
Jan?
Music.
This beautiful music. And we have this great guest who is just oozing out this chillness. And Sabine Blackaby, talking about the Feldenkrais method. I got it right this time. Beautiful music choices. Thank you, Sabine. And that music, I couldn't actually understand what he was singing because it was in a foreign language to me. But you said, Sabine,
it's about two flowers represent two gardenias, representing the love of the woman and the man.
Oh,
see? Doesn't really matter if you don't know what it means. It just sounded beautiful.
We just have a little, it was a bit of a rumba type.
That's right. Yes.
Gold
sun
stars.
Dancing.
Wonderful. Well, we are running close to the 1 o'clock sheds. We've got lots of information to still get across to you, listener. We are talking about this Feldenkrais method. And if you've missed out what it is, you can listen to the show later on. And in the beginning part of the show, we've been exploring that in depth with Sabine. One thing, Sabine, is you were highlighting just there when we were listening to that wonderful music track, but also you said that it's important for people to understand that movement is a skill.
Absolutely, yes. Mm. Movement is a skill and really underpins everything we do. Mm. Even when we think, we might adjust our posture a little bit, our breathing might change. So as human beings, it's really vital to move well.
Yeah.
And that's what the Feldenkrais method can help with.
It can. But also, interestingly, I think a bit like my work and also Jan's work in working with people that often have limiting beliefs and also habits. And we work with a lot of our clients and help them adjust and move out of a habit that isn't serving them well into a new and improved habit. But you were saying again that actually, yes, if you think about movement, we have habits there, don't we?
That's right. And to a certain extent, that's very beneficial because we don't want to think about walking down the road every time we do it. So it's good that movement is habituated, but it's also limiting us to what we know.
Mm.
And sometimes we just forget options that would be actually available to us and more comfortable.
So give us an example, as in walking.
Well,
I thought I did it quite well, but so apparently my physio last week I saw is saying perhaps I don't walk as well as I should.
Many people think walking is the job of the legs. Which obviously it is, but the legs are connected to the pelvis. So if the pelvis moves, then the spine moves, then the shoulder girdle moves, the arms move, the head moves. So if movement becomes more connected, it becomes also more efficient.
Mm.
And as grown-ups, we sometimes have the tendency to fragment movement. In that individualization process as a baby, as a young child, that's important, but we take it too far. So we need to be able to do fine motor skills, but not forget that we actually move also as a whole.
Because it's all connected, isn't it?
Yeah,
I've got that song in my brain, haven't I?
Yeah,
there we go. See, Jan, you're on my wavelength. You've worked with me too long. And also, I suppose, with my running head on, that must be, for runners,
absolutely,
a great, perhaps even performance benefit.
A friend of mine in London, she's teaching workshops for runners. There are books as well, Feldenkrais Method and Running.
Oh, my eyes have lit up. Books. She's mentioned books, Jan, and running
is
in the same sentence.
Going into Amazon and other reputable books.
Yes. Now, the other thing I wanted to tease out of you earlier on in the show, you mentioned to me about how, for example, in yoga, which is my background, my sort of awareness of understanding. So I would go into what we call an asana, a posture. And you said that you may well do a similar movement, but you approach it a different way. So could we take, and in Jan's world is also, just take the common, sorry, folks, but I'm calling it a common forward bend.
Yes. So in yoga, for example, I think it always depends what you're after. So in yoga, often forward bends are done with straight legs.
Mm.
That's good if you think you want to lengthen the hamstrings.
Mm. I can't do that yet, Sabine. I have to bend my knees.
From a Feldenkrais point of view, it's not such a great idea.
Ah.
Because you need to bend all the joints that are able to bend in a particular movement. So if you bend your back from a Feldenkrais point of view, it makes more sense to also bend your hips, bend your ankles, bend your knees, and even flex a little bit your shoulders. So if the movement is spread through the whole skeleton, it becomes easier. So I'm not saying you shouldn't do, you know, a forward bend with straight legs, as long as you know that's what you're doing.
And you can do, I suppose, yes.
And you're after lengthening the hamstrings. But at home, you don't need to do it in that way. Bend your legs, it's much more efficient.
Ah, So, Sabine, can we perhaps give a little freebie out to our listeners that if they're listening to this show, perhaps they can listen again when they're home, because they might not be able to do this if you're in a workplace. I'm just going to put a warning there, that, or if you're in your car, but perhaps play this again later on. You were mentioning that maybe we could have a bit of a freebie. Shall I call it an exercise? Is that right?
I'd rather use the term movement.
Okay, great. Let's use a movement. So yes. An example, something that we could do at home.
I was thinking something quite general that helps our flexibility.
Great.
I mean, first of all, just going down, lying down on the floor on your back is already a really good thing.
Right.
Because you're not activating the anti-gravity muscles in the same way, so you're already more relaxed. Possibly your breathing regulates itself, so that would be already nice.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are you able to lay on the floor? Should you lay on the floor at home on a carpet? Should you lay on a mat or a rug or anything else, or just the flat carpet?
It depends.
Or should it be some people have wooden floors, for example?
Yes. If you're just there for a very short time, it doesn't really matter. But if you want to do some movements, then you need a relatively firm surface.
Okay.
So a carpet would be ideal.
Yeah.
But or a yoga mat or any other mat. Yes.
And
even a blanket.
If they're laying on the floor, would they bend their knees if people are restricted in laying completely flat because of back problem?
Yes. If it's uncomfortable, bend your knees, stand your feet on the floor.
Great.
And then once you're in that position,
yep,
you can begin to tilt your legs either to the right or to the left.
So tilt my legs.
Tilt your legs, lower your legs, both legs to the right. Or bring them back to the middle and go over to the left.
Ah, so
that
my
pelvis
knees
is rolling. Your knees are towards the ceiling.
Feet on
feet
the floor.
Flat on the floor.
And I allow my knees to drop almost to right hand side.
I would like it to be in a controlled way so that you can make sure it's comfortable for your back.
Yes. So it's an easing. So again, I've got my Pilates hat on. And also yoga, but with the core muscles.
Yes, I prefer to take the hat off, actually.
Good.
So let your belly do what it would naturally do in this movement.
Yeah.
So what's important here again is the idea of connection. So as you lower your legs, let's say to the right, make sure your pelvis is rolling that way too. And just by taking the legs to the right, gravity will help you to lower them.
Sure.
And so your pelvis will be pulled into the movement. And then your spine can move, your ribs can move, your shoulders can move. And why not roll the head in the same direction?
So let everything go.
Yes,
in
that's
that direction.
Right, in that direction.
So you're muscle toning, you're moving everything.
Yes, we're after movement, it's not about muscular strength and muscular length. To move well, you need a certain amount of strength, but actually, I think it's much more important to think that our brain thinks about movement patterns rather than individual muscles.
Because as you say, everything is connected, so it all needs to roll. If we stop, keep your shoulders back, but
exactly.
Only let your knee, then...
And again, that's not a bad thing if that's what you want to do.
Sure.
So I sometimes work with people who go down the gym, and if everything is fine, I have no problem with that. But if they hurt themselves, then we might have to look into why is that. So they can go to the gym in a safe way.
Absolutely. And perhaps even think more about when they are in the gym with their weights or their machines, actually much more awareness of their body.
Yes.
And what it's doing.
That's definitely the key. It's, becoming aware of your movements will help you to improve it.
Yeah.
So it's more about learning and noticing rather than working out.
And if they were to do this exercise at home, do they do the swaying, the movement for many repetitions?
That's a good question. So it's important to go slowly so you can feel if it's comfortable in your back and everywhere else. Actually, as a variation, you could also roll your head in the opposite direction.
Oh, okay.
So that brings in more a twist rather than just turning.
Yes.
And I wouldn't do too many repetitions. It's really just reminding yourself, you can turn. And then your nervous system goes, oh, yes, that's nice. And maybe you can let some of the holding go that you have, established in the day.
Can I now put in the other question? Okay, what if the body says, it's not nice.
Yes. If in doubt, stop, take a rest.
Yep.
And then come back and see if you can fine-tune it. Maybe you went too far. Maybe you went too quickly. Maybe you forgot to breathe. So the way.
Oh, yes, breathing.
I always forget to breathe. Listeners will know, Sabine, that my main problem in life is if I breathe, I can't do anything else. If I do something, I stop breathing.
Yes.
So I have to remind myself.
So actually, that's a good point. Coordination is really important for moving well.
And with the breath, on that note, Jan, Are people needing to think about their when they're breathing out and in, or does it not matter? Just making sure they're breathing.
Yes, that's right. So I just remind my students, did you notice, were you breathing? Were you breathing in? Were you breathing out? Or did you hold your breath?
Yeah.
So many, many times it doesn't matter if they're breathing in or out. Sometimes it does, and then I will specify. But breathing definitely helps.
I'm glad you said that.
I've survived so long.
If people were to have, as you say, stop if there's pain or twinge or tingling or something that feels slightly strange.
Yes.
And then is that sort of actually really they should be seeking out somebody like yourself to actually maybe have a one-on-one to, because presumably there is an assessment you can do to sort of work out what's going on with
yes.
them. And then where does sort of, I'm almost trying, where do you draw the line, or where is your line between then, I need to signpost you perhaps to the GP, physios,
yes,
some other structural specialist.
Yes. So if I work with someone individually and I can see things are really uncomfortable and we try to modify it, we talk about it and it's still uncomfortable, I might go down a different route, suggest a different movement. But if it's something that just keeps coming back,
yeah,
and I have a slight suspicion it could be something in the back, in the spine maybe, then I would definitely refer them to
on.
The GP. Yes.
Great. Is it something GPs are aware of, especially in your area, say Brighton? Are you effectively on their list?
I am not, unfortunately. But
not allowed?
Some of my friends are linked to GP practices.
Sure.
Some are aware of the approach and maybe just mentions, look for a movement approach. And often, you know, mentioning is Pilates, yoga and Feldenkrais.
Mm. Oh, right. So it's sort of in the same statement, the same
yes.
sentence. Okay.
I think, you know, everybody notices or understands movement is so fundamental to us.
Brilliant. Well, before we run out of all of the time, and I just make sure that we get all the songs in because I'm just very, very selfish today. I want to hear all three of them. Now, you've brought along this wonderful CD. It's Belle, is it Belle or Belle?
Belle and Sebastian.
Belle and Sebastian. And this album is called Write About Love. In fact, it's a beautiful picture on there. And we're going to play a particular track called Little Lou, Ugly Jack and Prophet John. Is there a particular link with this, Sabine? Or again, just another lovely song?
Well, it reminds me of my husband.
Hello, Peter.
And also, Moshe Feldenkrais's definition of love was paying someone attention.
Oh. Well, that says it all then, Jan, doesn't it, really? What? Paying attention. Yeah, who are you? Let's enjoy it and we'll speak
what
to you in a minute.
Waste, I could have been your lover. What a waste, I could have been your friend. Perfect love is like a blossom that fades so quick. When it's blowing up a storm in May, travel south until your skin turns warmer. Travel south until your skin turns brown. Put a language in your head and get on a train. And then come back to the one you love.
What a waste I could have been your lover.
What a waste I could have been your friend.
Who Cares Wins? Your health and well-being show here on Channel Radio.
Who Cares Wins? Every Monday at noon on Channel Radio.
I'm a bright star.
Hope you enjoyed that little track there from Belle and Sebastian. That was wonderful. Thank you, Sabine, for choosing, all of the songs today. Fantastic. You can come again. So, yes, we're here with Sabine Blackaby talking about the Feldenkrais method. Of course, Jan and I are here in the studio looking at Twitter. We've had lots of people, you lovely people, have been retweeting. I noticed Robert, is it Hissay? How do you pronounce that, Jan? Because he was on while I was in Australia.
Well, she's going to put me on the spot. I apologise, Robert. I think it's Hissay.
Hissay.
Hissay. It's probably
Hissay. I like Hissay. Do you like that, Robert? Let us know. I also noticed Karen, who runs mindfulness and also yoga classes in Canterbury. She's put retweeted and put on now. In fact, yes, but we're running out of time. So, Sabine, before we disappear out of the studio, a couple of things we want to make sure that our listeners are aware of. First of all, not only the Feldenkrais method, and we're talking about movement as a skill, but you also do work with babies and toddlers.
Yes, that's right. I did an additional training called Child Space in Amsterdam, which applies the Feldenkrais method to working with babies and toddlers.
Ah.
And I run groups for healthy babies and their parents, so where we meet weekly and look at what the babies do, and I give some suggestions. I sing songs as well and play.
Oh, wow.
And then I also work individually with babies who have some developmental challenges or maybe don't meet the milestones.
Yes.
Or disabled children.
Oh, fantastic. My goodness. There's no end to your talent, Sabine.
Oh, thank you.
Marvellous work that you do. So important stuff now is for listeners who want to know more, perhaps to contact you. You do have a website where all the information about you and the method and what you offer, when and where, is all on your website, which is, give a shout out.
www.feldenkraisbrighton.co.uk.
Marvellous.
So very simple.
It is very simple. I have tweeted it. We will post it again on our Facebook page as well. So listener, don't panic if you didn't get that down. We will repost it on all of our social media for you, including LinkedIn. Of course, you are running a workshop this weekend, in Saturday the 13th of June, and that is at Addington.
It's in Addington at the Seekers Trust.
Seekers Trust.
And it's from 10 to 1 o'clock, so it's a morning workshop.
Yeah.
And the theme is transitions.
Ooh.
Transitions in life and in movement.
And just
so we have to make so many transitions in movement and in life.
Indeed.
And yes.
Cost?
Just to clarify, it's Addington, Kent.
Addington in Kent. Near Rootham and Westmalling, if you're aware of Kent. But fear not if you're wondering, well, I don't know if I could get there maybe, because it's M20, the motorway. So, yes, if you can get onto the M20, you may want to just drive down and have a day out in Kent. So have a look on the feldenkraisbrighton.co.uk. You will notice there that the information and how to book, because there is an email contact to contact Julie Raitt, who is the lady that's coordinating it and bringing it all together for you. But you do other workshops, don't you, around not only the UK, but you perhaps are also available, you know, if anyone wants to go to Australia, or are there some other avenues people can look
at? There are other avenues. I teach a workshop in Brighton soon. And that's on the 12th of July.
Okay.
And the theme there is the eyes, very fundamental movement and breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a workshop in Retford, more in the north. And that's in November, on the 21st and 22nd of November.
Brilliant.
At the Jasmine Trust there.
Okay. And again, that's all on your website.
It is, yes.
Great.
Yes. And if people want to know if there is a teacher in their area, they could go onto our Feldenkrais Guild website, which is again www.feldenkrais.co.uk.
Brilliant. So again, we'll post all of those websites on our Facebook website, Twitter, LinkedIn, smoke signals, wherever you want them, we'll post them for you. If not, just get in touch with us and we'll tell you where they are.
The site has some videos from
freebies.
Last month.
It's got videos and also recordings of short lessons, which you can listen to or download for free.
Fab. Well, I just want to say, Sabine, thank you for just sort of scratching the surface, really, with regards to this technique and the marvellous work you do. Thank you from my heart to join us in the studio
and
to drive from Brighton to here. I do bless you with that. And it wasn't too frantic.
It's been a pleasure.
So if you want to know more about Feldenkrais Method, or in fact all the work, the wonderful work that Sabine does, then do check out her website. And again, we'll post it all on our Facebook page for you. Before we disappear, a few informations about events that people have been sending through to us. One of the things which is dear to my heart is mindfulness. And funny enough, my wonderful CIPD, Kent Branch, this Institute of Personnel and Development. By the way, Jan, I'm back on the committee.
she can't say no.
I got an award. Did you know?
Yeah.
Yes,
and I got you volunteered.
And then I volunteered back to the committee. So yes, what's that all about? So they are running an event with the wonderful Louise Cox Chester of Mindfulness at Work Limited. And if you want to know more, I'll post it because it's an Eventbrite link. So that's very long-winded for me to shout out now. But it is, I can't see the date.
We've retweeted it though.
Okay.
The date
can't
is
see the date.
Tuesday the 29th of September, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock in Wingham, Kent.
Ah, at Witherden's Hall, which is where Mindfulness at Work are based from. So fantastic. It's called From Strive to Thrive, Mindfulness for Peak Performance. They also have another event, the CIPD. Again, if you want to look at the cipd.co.uk/branches/Kent, they have a West Kent event called Getting Smart About Agile Working. A gentleman from ACAS is coming along to explain what agile working is all about. You've got something here, Hazel, that was on in the
Hazel
beginning
Adley,
of the year.
Who was on at the beginning of the year. She was the first show in January 2015. She's running a workshop at the Horseridge Centre, Whitstable, on the 21st of July.
Brilliant.
6:30 to 8:30 p.m. It's Design a Life You Love workshop. Take control and create the life you truly want to live in 2015 and beyond.
Yay!
And if you do miss that, there's another one in 24th of October, Friends Meeting House Canterbury, part of the Canterbury Festival.
Woo-hoo.
So if you're planning anything for the festival, let us know.
Yeah.
We'll give you a shout out.
Yeah. Don't forget Carol Macy, her Intro to Goal Mapping, mentioned last week's show. I'll repost that again on our Facebook page for you because it is this Saturday again. Popular day, Sabine. That's in Faversham Abbey Place Clinic, 10:30 to 12:30. And also I noticed that Kent Creative Live are doing a writing workshop, and that's on the 30th of June at the Alexander Centre in Faversham. So I'll post that out there. It's only £44 for members of Kent Creative Live, £55 for non-members. Running out of time. Next week we have the wonderful Daphne from leavesinspired.co.uk, wonderful life coach, going to talk to her about what she's up to. In the meantime, we are repeated, don't forget, Thursday 12 noon we have the Listen Again facility on Channel Radio. We also have the Listen Again on a Who Cares Wins page, and also Jan's business page, greenleafeconomics.co.uk.
And on that note, I'll be missing for 2 weeks.
Oh, yes.
Work.
Not in missing in action,
not
but
missing
anyway.
Action. Work has intervened in life, so
we'll
I'll
let
be
you off,
off on the road, and I'll be back in July.
Great.
So enjoy your time.
I'll miss you.
And I'll be back soon.
Great stuff. Of course, if you want to get hold of us, at CaresWins or studio at whocareswinsradio.co.uk. Enjoy the rest of your day, folks. Don't forget, Richard is coming up, the Richard Hubbard Show at 2 o'clock. Enjoy. Take
June.
Care. It's the bright side. Thanks to Bean. Take care.